Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 224. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I'm Michael Kaplan.
You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram, at TurnerSparks.com. You can find Kaplan at Cap in America across all social media platforms.
Everyone, including a Peloton bike. Come follow me, Cap in America.
Follow him on Peloton. Call race him, against
you,
Kaplan.
I'll make you feel good about yourself because my times are terrible. My rides are pathetic. So you will beat me. You will feel good about yourself. Follow me.
Get happiness guaranteed, like our old cereal sponsor used to say, who soon. We will not mention.
Too soon.
Gino Liao is back on the podcast today, Kaplan.
Welcome back.
We're talking about, Gino, that was him. Gino is here with us. We will bring him in just a minute. We're talking with Gino this week about, there was a story we read about the Filipino police killing 9 people who they said were linked to a terrorist organization, a communist terrorist organization in the Philippines. And then with just the slightest bit of digging, meaning reading the article, any article on earth, any international publications say this is not a terrorist organization. No. These people are humanitarian workers. And for some reason, Duterte wants to get rid of them. So we're going to dig into that and in a minute. It dives deep. What we found interesting is that when you dig into, there is a communist organization in the Philippines that has its own military, that has its own government, that collects taxes. We're going to get it. So that's what's interesting to me, is living in a country where there's the government and then there's these other people who just decided they are also a government.
They have their own Patreon page. They got everything. They're huge.
They have a Peloton.
Peloton.
You can race against them. So I think that's why we want to get Chino on, because we might be preparing for that soon in our country, whether it's from the far left or the far right. We're not exactly sure, but people are forming militia/coalition governments all over the place. So we need to see what to prepare for. Cap, all right. Before Chino comes in and educates us, tell Patreon. Let's talk about Patreon for a minute. For $5 a month, you can listen to Kaplan and I 3 extra times a week. This show is free already, but we're going to throw you 3 extra shows for $5 a month. Just Cap and I doing our Full Throttle comedy podcast about life in quarantine for a while. Now that we're slowly coming out of it, it's about Kaplan's transition. He's not transitioning.
I'm transitioning. Big
that would
news.
Actually be good for you. Because he's running for political office in for city council in Long Island City, but you're not getting a lot of traction so far. So maybe you should transition.
I would get a lot more traction. I'd be number one in the polls. Yeah. And, you know, perhaps we could put a Patreon price on that for 50. How much dollars a month? And I'll start transitioning
for $50 a month. Well, that's a good point, because right now we have $352 a month is what we make in pledges. We've been saying since day one, when we were at $0 a month, we said that if we ever get to $400 a month, we will throw a yearly party for all of our subscribers in New York City.
We'll blow all that money on one party.
We literally will. Yeah. Because New York's expensive and $400 a month ain't a lot. So, but if we're only $48 away from getting there, so join. And I'm here to announce right now on the air, this party will happen at the Friars Club in New York City.
Wow. Governor Sparks, governor of the Friars Club, which is something you would know about if you listen to our Patreon show. You talk about it a lot.
I'm a governor of the club. I throw a lot of weight around up there.
Throw a lot of weight. You talked to Governor Cuomo. I know you had to negotiate
from one governor to another governor. Yeah. He let us open. We reopened 2 or 3 weeks ago. I've not been back there yet because I'm not fully vaccinated, but I do Zoom in for the meetings. Listen, a lot of the big timers in America are hanging out there already. I heard that the Reverend Al Sharpton was there on Friday night last week.
Oh, Reverend Sharpton. Look at that.
So we could go hang out with Reverend Al.
Take a schmitz with Reverend Sharpton. Was he with a rabbi? And
who else was that? Oh, man. Someone from Star Trek. What's his name? Who's the Asian guy in Star Trek?
Oh, George Takei was there?
George Takei was there a few days ago. So you don't know who you're going to run into when you're at the Friars Club.
Was he sitting there in the sweat room?
In the Barbra Streisand room, going up to the sweat room. Yeah, taking a schmitz. So that's where our party's going to be, folks. We don't have a date yet because we got to wait for everything to reopen. But we're $48 away, so join now. Kaplan,
send us $48 now. If you put us over that line, the $400 line, we'll do something special for you at the party. I don't know what.
Do something. We'll figure something out.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, I should announce that I'm now going to be, starting in May, I'm going to be hosting a week, every other week, every other Wednesday, I'll be hosting the comedy shows there in the lounge. So I'll be the house MC at the Friars Club. How about that?
Look at that.
Listen, when you're the governor, you make the decisions.
You make things happen. You're like Governor Cuomo does all the comedy in New York State for a whole year. You do all the comedy at the Friars Club.
I'm taking over for him. Yeah, in my domain. All
just
right.
Don't meet to anyone, please. They got very nice staff there.
What do you know about this? The Philippine situation. Let's start.
I know. You know. You summarize. I know that. Duterte, as we talked about a few months ago, is a crazy person, right?
Yes.
So I know that when I see that he kills 9 people for any reason, I don't care if you say they were 9 bank robbers, or if they're 9 terrorists, or if they're 9.
Yeah.
You know, setting off fireworks outside. I don't care what you say. I know I got to look under the covers a little bit. I know not to trust it.
Look under the hood.
Look under the hood. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Under the covers.
The cover is a little creepier.
Jesus. All right, Cuomo.
So sure enough. So yeah, there's this group that he said is connected to a communist sympathizer group, which I thought was interesting because I didn't know he was so hardcore anti-communist until this.
Well, he's pro-China. So I thought he would be pro-communist. I don't understand how he's pro-communist towards China, anti-communist towards his own country. But and then what we found out, it seems like the 9 people he killed were not, in fact, as far as I can tell, well, we might be wrong, not in fact connected. His mistake, honest error.
I mean, I guess he wants to send a message like to everybody, just don't even be connected. Like he sends out his people, go kill some. I don't even know what the thought process is. Or maybe the question I'm going to have is, you know, I know that some areas of the world, there's terrorist organizations that use charitable organizations as covers, you know, NGOs. But I don't think that's the case here from my peripheral reading of the great research material you sent me. So
Chino Liao, why don't you answer? Welcome to the show. Chino's the host of the Class Clown podcast. Check it out on all podcast platforms and the wrestling. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you got it.
The Wrestling Podcast, with future guest Andrew Goldstein.
We're going to see him tonight. Goldstein doesn't even know yet, but we've booked him.
We booked him. Chino, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me back, guys.
Yeah, we love it. You're one of our favorites.
Well, go ahead and answer, I guess, Kaplan's question first, and then we'll get into where you are and how that is.
Sorry, Kaplan, what was the question? Sorry.
Oh no, I was saying that what did I say? I said that the organization didn't seem like, you know, sometimes there's NGOs around the world that are kind of covers for Hamas or Hezbollah or something, but they don't seem like they strike me. They might be communist or left leaning, but they're not.
This is Karapatan, as I said.
Yeah. Right? Okay. Okay. You know, what's funny is Karapatan or however else you said it actually just means rights. And that's what it means. Human rights.
Human rights.
Yeah. That's what that's what the name means. So in the Philippines, if you care about civil welfare and human rights, you are automatically a communist.
It's like the ACLU. There are a bunch of communists over there.
That's how they paint people now in the Philippines, because it's essentially a power grab. That's essentially the point of all of this. He doesn't want people speaking out against him. He doesn't. If there's an inkling of a threat against his power or his position, that's what I think he goes after right now. He being President Duterte.
And why does he? So the human rights organization, which is called Karapatan, which just means human rights. Why? As Kaplan said, do they have any connection to this communist group, or is that totally false?
It's not proven. People are saying that they do have a communist connection, but it hasn't been proven yet. Because nowadays in the Philippines, it's very in vogue, I guess you could say, to just suddenly point fingers and call people communist now. Red tagging has become a lot more prevalent now because of a recent law that was passed by the government that basically says they can arrest anybody who says a suspected communist. It's basically what the law says.
I mean, they're like in the 1950s in America. It's very retro.
Right? Exactly.
Red tagging. That's the
Hollywood blacklist and all that. Yeah, yeah. So
even in the 80s, we used to call people communists. Nobody calls anybody a communist around here anymore.
So. Right. Yeah. But in the Philippines, it's actually back in style. People are just pointing fingers at each other, calling them out for saying that they're communists and they don't care about the Philippines and all that. And it's just escalated so much.
So that's so interesting. So calling anyone you don't like, you just call them a communist. And that's kind of what I got through my research. And then the next question is obviously, why is being a communist so bad? And then that led me to the Communist Party of the Philippines and the New People's Army. Can you explain what those are?
Okay, so the CCP has its roots, during the martial law. And that's when it started. Martial law in the Philippines happened in the early 80s, late 70s, when then-President Ferdinand Marcos didn't step down from office. He's basically moved the election a few times. People started to notice. They started rioting. Killing started happening, and then rioting escalated, and then he cracked down on martial law. That's the Cliff Notes version of how things actually happened. It's a much longer, much detailed thing. But at the end of the day, this is what made people question democracy. Like, is the Philippines really a democratic country? You know, are we really fitted under this sort of platform? And that's how the CCP essentially came to rise. The CCP was founded by a guy named Joma Sison. He is still alive to this day, I think. And he's hiding out in Amsterdam, which is the Netherlands, which is a non-extradition country. So good for him, right? But this entire time, since he's been hiding out in the Netherlands, he's been running things from that part of the world. The NPA, the New People's Army, is the sort of militant arm of the CCP. You know, it's the arm that is accused of terrorism, of hijacking trucks, of holding people up at gunpoint, you know, because essentially they're outcasts in society. They live up in the mountains with their Peloton bikes and their Patreon subscriptions.
New People's Army hashtag.
Patreon subscriptions. We'll invite them to the Friars Club. They can get us over $400 a month.
We will support the communists if they pay us $48. Exactly.
So yeah, essentially they're just outcasts of society. That's how the Philippines has painted communism. Like if you're a communist, you're excluded from everything else in society. So go live up in the mountains or wherever.
So yeah, and they, I did read it started in 1969. It said this party, but I think you're, I mean, you're totally right. It grew in power in the 80s.
Right. Yeah.
And then, somehow still exists today. I also read that Duterte at one point was part of it when he was younger. Is that
yes.
true?
Yes. He actually, okay, this is an interesting story here. When President Duterte was still a fledgling lawyer, he was, I don't think he even was a lawyer. I think he was a public defender, I think was the term they used. And when he was starting out as a public defender, he actually was very active in that space because the CCP, as I've come to learn and as other people have come to learn, is actually not as bad as people say it is. It's actually, they're just after fair and equal treatment of everybody, wherein in the communist manifesto of things, nobody is above anybody else. That's basically what they're after. Now, for those in power to say that that is wrong, it's just, it's another conversation. Entirely, but from that point in time, President Duterte, when he was younger, a lot younger, he was actually active in activism.
So he was part of it.
Right.
And then now he's killing people who he doesn't even know if they're part of it or not. He just, like, it's his way of saying they're a bad person, is that they're a communist.
Right. Right. He's trying to... Listen, everything, ever since the pandemic happened, people have already been unhappy with the way things were going in the Philippines. And so everything has just escalated so incredibly. And then because everything escalated, the power, the people in power, rather, have started to crack down harder on things. They shut down ABS-CBN, which is the largest TV network in the country. They shut it down. So, and then they started with the red bagging, which gave them an excuse, but a weak one at that. So it didn't really push through to invade a university, the University of the Philippines, which is the government, which is the national university of the country, to invade it and to occupy it for a brief moment. And then they, with all these things, they also happened during martial law. So this was the fear, the growing fear in the public that we might have to go back to that point in time, and nobody wants that to happen.
Yeah. So do they, in reality, because I don't know, you read a lot, and I'm not sure what's fact and what's overblown or underreported. It's the numbers I read said that, and this was like, we read a Stanford study. Some person at Stanford did this gigantic study on the New People's Army, which is pretty wild. And it said that in the 80s, there was 25,000 members, which didn't seem like very much. But again, but on one hand, as for a private army, that does sound like a lot of people. And then it says now there's like 3,000 people. So do those numbers seem accurate or underblown or overblown?
They sound pretty accurate to me because, again, back in the 80s when martial law was happening, a lot of people joined the New People's Army. I had an uncle who was part of it. He's unfortunately passed on, but a lot of people, a lot of younger men didn't want to just sit back and let things happen, you know, so they decided to take up arms. Some of them became activists, others joined the New People's Army. So it makes sense for it to be as overblown, but over time, as democracy in the country progressed, you had different leaders step into power. So a lot of people either fell out or changed the government also. I think this was during the Aquino administration. This was after Marcos fell from power. She offered livelihood programs and homes to the members of the New People's Army to sort of de-escalate the situation. So this was a very real thing that happened, that to try and calm everybody else, calm everybody down, she offered them homes and livelihood programs. And a lot of them took it. And a lot of them took it because they didn't want to fight anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way to, that's the, one way to win is to kill everybody. Another way is to like employ them all, right?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean, just because you're in this army doesn't mean you're a communist, like ideologue, like hardcore. You could just be disaffected with the way the government's going.
Right. Yeah. Everybody essentially just wants, you know, to feed their family at the end of the day. And that's what the government did back then.
So is the Communist Party, first of all, I'm just thinking if this existed in the U.S., let's start here. Like if there was 3,000 people with their own military and from what we read, the land, do they control some amount of land and people in that land pay taxes to them? Is that
correct? Yes. In the provinces outside.
It's kind of wild.
It's like Portland when the Chapo district or whatever.
A little more than that. No one's paying taxes to Antifa in Portland.
Antifa should pay taxes. Seattle was a Seattle
It's
Portland.
A little more successful version of that, Kevin.
Yeah.
The Occupy Portland movement. Yeah. It's a very aggressive move on their part because I've heard stories and reports and seen things that let people know that they are in the area and that if you get caught out at night, and you never know what will happen. Basically, there are actual signs, road signs that say CCP is here. You know, they let people know of their presence, and smaller towns in the Philippines, less developed areas of the world, rely on the CCP for protection. So basically, it's a scam. You know what I mean? So they
kidnap people. Is that who? Because I was reading.
They also do that as well. They also kidnap people. They've basically resulted to being criminals at this point because of the vilification they've undergone. You know, people have painted them as bad guys, so now they're actually bad guys.
Yeah, no one's hiring them at the law firm.
Right, exactly.
Once you join the militant rebel group. Go ahead.
Wild. And there's never been a movement to just completely crush them though, like even before Duterte or just so we don't have this can't we don't.
Actually, there's been constant fighting between the military and the NPA. It's actually a thing that's been going on until this very day. Right. Wars have been fought constantly. You may have heard of the Muslim terrorist cell in Mindanao, the south, right? And in everywhere else, you have the CCP. So it's basically the Philippines is trying to fight against itself, trying to unify everything, and just multiple parties just end up not liking how things are going. And that's why it's been going on for this long.
So if you're a regular person, you just avoid certain areas because you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you drive faster through certain areas.
You drive fast. We're not stopping for gas. Don't run out of gas in this province.
Nobody's going to the bathroom.
Yeah, use a bottle.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, we read that 71 of the provinces, 71 of the 80, are there 83 provinces?
Yeah, I think there are 83.
So, 71 right now, of the 83, the army claims, the communist army claims to have representation in 71 of the 83.
Yeah, and until this point, until now, today, you will find people who are actually being recruited by the NPA. They'll go into towns, they'll offer some guise of food or employment or, you know, finding your way through life. It's basically like religion, but like with guns, right? So people in these far-flung areas, they don't really have a lot of options on their end. A lot of them didn't finish school. A lot of them don't really have anywhere else to go. So a lot of them end up being frustrated by the situation, end up actually joining these groups.
I mean, that doesn't sound too far off from how the military in the United States recruits, right, Kep? They go to I remember them coming to University of Miami when I was in college. And it was like senior year. We had just finished our final exams. And we're sitting on this patio next to a swimming pool, next to a lake with palm trees and like alligators and this guy and we have flip flops. And it's like, you know, we're in paradise. We've just graduated college. And this guy comes up to us, you guys, in a suit. And he's like, you boys ever think of joining the military? You know, it could really save you from a lot of trouble. And we're like, what trouble do we have?
they would come to our high schools.
You've come to the wrong people, you know, like, but that's what they do. They go to certain neighborhoods. I think we can recruit.
I'm now you just say to them, I can't even squint. You want me in the military? I can't fire a gun. So, how does the actual Communist Party, is it like how in the elections and whatnot, like how popular is it? Like the, okay, the non.
I wouldn't know about how they run things, but funnily enough, a lot of the comics from back home from the Philippines, actually, we've done shows with some of the more lower profile members of that party. They have.
There's a comedy scene.
There's a comedy
the communist
scene.
Comedy scene.
Who books that?
It's weird, man. It's
no
weird.
Drink minimum.
While we were doing the show, we saw at least two cop cars drive by, like because the bar that we were doing it at was a known hot spot, right? So we've had cars drive by once or twice, and everybody was just outside having, just smoking cigarettes inside. We were having a great time, but then not far off, we were seeing cop cars drive by so frequently. So it was just an interesting time. But a lot of them just like want to get into comedy because, you know, like everything else, it's just a way to express their frustration.
We should have booked a communist. Why are we booking you? We should have booked a communist. Yeah.
You want me to hook you up?
Comedian.
You know. No, wait, you're telling me that even the Filipino communist militant rebels want to be comedians too?
Yeah.
How many of them have podcasts?
That's where the Patreon money comes from.
They're on
from,
Patreon.
Right? Yeah, they're on Patreon as well.
Number one.
I've done a show with a group of them that's associated with them. So it's not as crazy as you think. They're actually okay people. You know, just a little more militant than the usual people.
You have there are out. Rooms in Brooklyn where the people are to the left and more militant than these people, I'm sure.
So. So do they... Do you have to worry about what you joke about when you're doing those shows?
When I'm around them, no, man, because they actually have a good sense of humor. I actually,
they're not like American communists. They have a sense of humor. And
they have a good sense of humor. No, this one guy, the head guy, I should say, what he used to do was he used to write this long monologue, right? And instead of telling it on stage, he gets his two preteen daughters to do it. So like 9 and 10 year old girls would go up on stage and start talking about President Duterte. It was the most messed up thing ever because the kids would just go and people were just staring at them.
And they weren't hitting
kids bombs.
The kids were basically bombing if you think about it. But nobody would tell them that because they were kids, right? They were little girls.
Were they supposed to be funny or was it not?
The dad's main focus was to get the point across. Mm. Yeah. It wasn't to drop a punchline.
More of a Bill Hicks set.
Yeah, exactly.
If Bill Hicks used his daughter. Oh my God.
It was just a trip to watch because to see two little girls talk about Marxism and then talk about anal sex in the same set. And the dad was very open about it. It was so strange, right?
And then
so,
afterwards, Chino, did the little girls come and try to collect taxes from all your guys?
They stick around for tips? I don't think so.
Tips, mandatory tips.
They have the number two podcast now in the Philippines, those two girls.
So what? Second to the Class Clown podcast. Check it out on all your networks. So what is I can't imagine, Kaplan, if we had a group like that in the U.S., every single president we've had in our history would just go in there and blast them out, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah. Well, we don't have. I mean, I guess it's easier in America. It's not like far. I don't know. We have like the best military. We could just do anything. So you can't. I can't imagine. We can't. That's why we're looking forward to the future where we get to that, I guess, is what you're trying to say. But I can't imagine in the history of America of having this. But we are supposed to have militias. That was supposed to be our founding purpose.
Well, militias are coming. We've heard. Yeah, they're getting. They're currently forming in outer Michigan.
But I mean, in the original. Yeah, exactly. They're coming. And it's very throwback to like a simpler time. And like a picture like Italy. You know, like
simpler time
when you just had like lawlessness and
so Chino, what like when they were getting started, I guess you said they just really came to power in the 80s. How come there hasn't been a single leader in the past, a president in the past, who's just really gone hard into them? Or I guess here's a better question. Is their goal to take over the country, or is their goal to become a legitimate party?
Their goal is to actually become a legitimate party. Okay. That's the goal that they've been after. They wanted to offer an option. That's how they started out. Like I said, Jaume Sison, the leader of this group, didn't really, I don't think he ever ran for off public office, I don't think. But he just wanted to show people a different side. I don't really know what he was arrested for, but he was arrested for something. And that's how everything just swerved into the direction that it's in right now, because he doesn't want to come back because he doesn't know what will happen to him. His group has been villainized so intensely that their goals are basically askew now. Now people are saying that they're out to topple the government, but I never really saw it as that.
Yeah, when you read online, it says the goals are to overthrow the government, to become institute Marxism, to all the things that communist governments have done in the past. All the main hits. Play all the hits.
Play all the classics.
Take over. Take the money away from the rich. Redistribute it to the poor. The
international
all that kind of stuff. So
they want to kick America out of the country, right? They don't want America to be involved.
Oh, that was a big thing too. Yeah, to get the U.S. influence out of the country.
Yes, that was a bigger deal in the early 90s when the American bases were still around.
Yeah, the bases are all closed now.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I mean, that just takes away something from there.
Does Duterte and other leaders almost like having them around because it's like a good deflection point?
That's how it's looking out to be. Like, he's trying to divert the problems onto a different group instead of addressing the problems that are present. I mean, we're still going through a pandemic. You know, we're still trying to figure out what's going on with the government's plan. But here comes President Duterte with his war against the communists. You know, that takes precedent over everything else.
Yeah, which by the, like I said, it's when we looked it up, according to the numbers, it's 3,000 people in the whole country. So it doesn't, I guess if they occupy part of land though, that makes it a bigger issue. But it seems like it's hard for 3,000 people to have much of an influence on a country. I don't know. It seems like he's making it out. On one hand, he's making it out to be a bigger issue than it is.
But it's 3,000 armed people. There could be other people who support them, you know.
That's true. Maybe the military is 3,000 people.
I would assume. I mean, I don't.
Yeah. Well, I want to get into. And go ahead, Chino. Sorry.
Sorry. The 3,000 people, I believe, are the armed NPAs, the New People's Army.
Okay.
That's, I think, what they were talking about. I don't think, because like I said, with this Karapatan group, there are other groups who are also being painted as communists up there in the country who people say that are communists and have activist ties to the CCP, but aren't necessarily proven, you know, because just recently there was this news that broke in a province, I believe in Samar, if I'm not mistaken, wherein the chief of police of that area demanded a list of lawyers who had ties to the CCP. This was after just a streak of killings of activists in that area as well. So lawyers in the country banded together and just said that, hey, hold on, we're not activists. We're not all activists here. We're not all communists here. You can't just give out our names just like that. So it's actually a more prominent problem now than it's ever been.
And there's kids. There's still a youth group. You mentioned Duterte was a member of it, and I know it's banned, but it still exists. It's just like underground where they train. Because I have children, and they're very materialistic brats, so I'd like to turn them into communists if I can. so I might send them if you know a guy who can watch them, trustworthy.
I'll hook them up with that dad who got his daughters to do stand-up.
Yeah, because there's a youth. Yeah, it's like...
They can play the communist comedy circuit in the Philippines. I have more questions on Duterte and his connection But before we get to that, Kaplan, we have another ad, another Patreon subscriber for $20 a month. You not only get our show three times a week, the extra show that Kaplan and I do live from the bunker, you also get a Lost in America t-shirt. We went to number one in Armenia. We put that t-shirt out. You get that. Plus, you get an ad on this show once a month. We'll read whatever you want. How about that?
Whatever Kaplan? You want. You want a business. You want to shame somebody. You want to say something nice. You want to propose. Anything you want.
It would be great if someone one day proposes to their wife through us on this show.
Should we
How
break
good
some
would
news?
That be, Kaplan?
So what do we got today?
Today we got Sugar Brady, listeners.
Sugar Brady, one of our favorite fans.
Brady, he has a friend who is in a tough spot. This is a pretty serious one, Cap.
Gotta go Casey Kasem voice then.
I don't know his voice that well. What is Casey Kasem voice?
Never mind.
I'm not 1,000 years old. Apologies. Okay, Boomer.
My friend is in a...
Becky Trimnell. I'm just going to read what he wrote. Becky Trimnell's only crime has been unknowingly voting in a presidential election without being a U.S. citizen. Unknowingly voting. Becky was adopted by an American couple days after she was born in Mexico. Unbeknownst to her parents, it was done illegally. Becky found out all of this in her mid-20s while applying for a passport in preparation for her honeymoon. Just an American trying to go on a honeymoon. Upon graduating dental school, her husband took a humanitarian post in a remote part of Alaska to serve a small community with no current dentist. So good so far. After years of uncertainty and finally with real income, John and Becky hired an immigration attorney to help sort out Becky's status. But upon receiving her application, the federal government immediately denied her request and ordered her to report for deportation to a country, Mexico. She has not been since she was, what, a week, 2 weeks old, something like this. So that's Sugar Brady's friend. He's trying to get the word out there as much as possible that she needs help. If you would like to read more, much more eloquent version of this story, he says, and help the Trimble family, the Trimble fight, the federal government, to help them fight the federal government, please check out the pinned tweet at S. Brady Sullivan on Twitter. S-B-R-A-D-Y-S-U-L-L-I-V-A-N on Twitter. At S. Brady Sullivan. Go there for more information. Help the Trimble family. Kaplan, that's that. Now back to the show. Hopefully we can help him out. We have a lot of people in the State Department.
You kind of took me down now. I'm a little depressed.
It's a bummer, but we do have State Department people who listen to this.
We do have some prominent people. We got some lawyers, and I like that Sugar Brady did work in a plug for his Twitter page, though, at least it's his pinned tweet. So
he did a good deed, but he also, of course,
get a few followers. So
why not wet your own beak while you're at it?
Yeah. So anybody who can help, please. Sugar Brady is a good people. Even
now, now here's my
son sometimes, but he's a good person.
Back to the show. Here's what I want to ask about Duterte. He said when he came into office that he knows these people. He used to be a communist. He knows the communists. He's going to negotiate with them. He said he's going to negotiate with them. And by the end of his term, 2022, he said he'll have a solution. Everything will be worked out. Now he's trying to just go around and kill all of them. Not only kill them, he's trying to kill people who are tangentially related, if related at all. What went wrong in the middle there?
Here's the thing, man. He made a lot of promises at the start, even before his election. That's how he rose to power. He told people that he solved the drug problem in 3 to 6 months. Did not happen. He said that he'd solve traffic. Did not happen.
Traffic? Driving traffic?
Yeah.
Oh, Manila is the worst traffic on earth. Capital.
How was he going to solve traffic?
Exactly, right? He was going to shoot bad drivers.
You're not driving fast enough. Shoot them.
Yeah.
Shoot rubbernecks.
No, but traffic in the Philippines, driving traffic is horrible.
Kaplan, so it can take 5 hours to get from one side of Manila to the other.
Do they have a guy in the sky, like a helicopter who gives you a traffic report? Maybe that's what they need. The radio
infrastructure is what they need.
I like how that's your solution, that we've never heard of helicopters.
Yeah. Do they have Waze? Maybe we get them the app Waze. It'll help people know where to go.
Kaplan,
no,
please.
No, all right. So he didn't.
No, it's just horrible all around. Like everybody else doesn't know what to do, so they relied on this guy who claimed that he knew how to do things because he was the mayor of Davao City for the longest time, and they had the lowest crime rates there, and people seemed to obey the law, so they thought that they could apply that to the entire country. I don't actually know what fell apart with his relationship with the NPA. All I know is, and this is coming from another stand-up comic who happened to be a frontline soldier.
This is amazing.
It's just amazing people walk into our open mics. So this guy suddenly got an order to increase, I guess you could say, aggressiveness against the NPA. So if it was a falling apart, I don't know what actually happened. But if this is part of the solution, then it's not really surprising because he seems to be the kind of guy who shoots first and then just doesn't ask questions at all.
Yeah, he doesn't even ask questions later. Yeah, so you guys have, in your comedy community, you have military soldiers who are supposed to go shoot the MPA, and you have MPA.
Do they ever appear on the same nights? Or do you know to book them, separate them?
Unfortunately, on our end, they've never... Like, this happened. The soldier did a few sets 4 or 5 years ahead of the NPA guy. So
okay.
It could be, there's, like, Seeds of Peace, which is, like, where Israelis and Palestinians get together and play soccer. Or like, yeah. And there's, like, respect for the game of soccer. So they put everything... There's no fighting then. So it could be the respect for the mic.
like a Goodwill Games, but with like dick jokes or something.
Right? So you can maybe solve this whole problem with a few more open mic nights.
Yeah.
So what about what's going on with I just have one last question. Is it weird to live in a place where part of the territory is just controlled by a whole other militant government that takes taxes, or do you just get used to it?
The places that they are referring to in the thing you read actually are nowhere near Manila. Okay. I mean, Manila itself has its own set of problems, groups, and activists. Granted, it's the capital, but these provinces are actually very far off in the poorest parts of the country. These places don't have running water, sometimes no power, but definitely no Patreon. So it's just the hardest.
What are they getting for these taxes? They don't even have water and water.
No fryer.
That's how they keep things running. That's how they keep things running. The NPA. You're talking about the NPA taxes or the government taxes?
No, the NPA. The Communist Party's taxes.
That's how they keep things running. That's how they keep themselves fed, and that's how they keep putting up all these crimes.
The mob, sort of. Charge people a cut.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing business, and we will protect your business in this area, or whatever.
It's essentially a criminal enterprise at this point, you know. So that's how they keep things running. That's how they keep doing what they do, you know. That's because these guys are just way up in the mountains, way deep in the jungles of the Philippines. They are very well hidden, I should say. And those that aren't well hidden are ready to fight to the death. So... like I was telling you about the soldier, right? He's actually seen firefights with actual NPA members in northern Mindanao. So it's actually a very well hidden but very open secret, I guess you could say.
Wow! And so, does anyone support the Duterte? Is there like can you be a reasonable person and also support Duterte wanting to get rid of this group?
Right now, reason and President Duterte aren't like the exact combination.
No, he's
like
not.
It's hard. It's a hard sell.
I guess my question is: can you say, well, it is weird that we have this non-government entity going around collecting taxes. So if Duterte wants to get rid of him, I don't really like Duterte, but also like we shouldn't just have these people. Or is it more like you got to be? I'm with Duterte everything, or I'm against him everything.
There are people who do what you, the first thing you said, how they voted for President Duterte be, because they don't like the crime problem or the drug problem or even the communist problem in the country.
Yeah.
This is one of his main selling points for his presidency. That's how he got people to vote for him, because he promised to do a laundry list of things here. But then nowadays, I feel like the people who side with President Duterte because he wants to get rid of the communists are people who have actually experienced being affected by the NPA or the CCP. You know, people who have been victimized by them. People who don't really, who tried to turn to do the police, but the police were too afraid to do anything.
Yep.
No, this is what makes sense now nowadays, because here comes the hero. Oh, here comes President Duterte with his war against the communists.
Plus the boomers. I'm sure the boomers like that.
Yeah, definitely the boomers. The boomers love him because of his old school Dirty Harry stance on things. That's a given.
I mean, we were reading about, like, there's like a famous actress who basically just made like an innocent sounding comment about hoping the future would be better for everyone. And they red tagged her for that and said that she basically said she should watch her back.
Well, she said she hopes the future is better for women. And they were like, oh, are you a communist because you support women?
Something I mean, it's got the McCarthyism never went. I mean, that's like.
Right. Yeah. No, this actress, I think you're talking about Liza Soberano. She's younger, a lot younger than ourselves. She's one of the fresher faces on TV. Like, she's been famous for the past few years now. But because ABS-CBN shut down, she was affected by that because she works for the network. So she's been hanging around online a lot, letting people know how unhappy she is with the state of things. Mm. And like I said, people just, if they don't like something, if people in power don't like something, they can just easily call you a communist. And that'll just attract so much heat.
What about this, though? Doesn't Duterte, as far as I know, has a good relationship with Xi Jinping and China, who are
the ultimate communist
country?
Ironic. Does he know what the C stands for?
What does he say about that?
I actually don't know about that. Really. You have me stumped. Because on one hand, yes, he is against the communists, but on the other, China, you know? So maybe he just doesn't want to poke the bear, I guess. Like, you worry about that problem once it gets here. It's already here, you know. The Chinese vessels have been spotted closer and closer to the territory. So I actually don't know what his solution is for that. Maybe he just lays down. I don't know.
Turner, when you were running the comedy club in China, you should have booked some of these communist Filipino comedians. might still be there.
It would have been a hit.
Kung Fu comedy.
Should have headlined those little girls, man.
that could have been part of our negotiation to stay a comedy cup, to not get shut down. Is what we guarantee once a month we will have one of these guys headlining.
Exactly.
We'll give equal time to the communist comedians as well. So So you were, last time we talked to you, you were in Manila.
Right.
And now you just told us you're in the Bay Area in San Mateo.
Yes.
You're in America. Welcome to America.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. I just came with my parents. We were just hanging out. And we just basically they came here to get vaccinated.
Cool.
So they did that. I'm actually leaving back to the Philippines in about 2 weeks. So I've been here a while.
Did you get a vaccine while you were with them?
I've been trying to, but no luck so far. So,
just go get it, man. No, there's a club in New York, Stand Up New York Comedy Club, and they're getting, for all comedians, they're booking you your appointments.
Oh, cool.
So tell them.
Donnie Care, baby.
We'll fly into New York. I'll let them know you're on the way, and they'll have your appointment by the time you step off the plane.
Oh, damn. Okay. I might do that. I have 2 weeks. So.
You might have to be a...
Are your parents...
I can always just... When it comes to the vaccine, my parents have always been flexible because we were supposed to leave the earliest was second week of March.
Yeah.
But because of that vaccine, we moved it back. And then because my mom got the vaccine herself, she had to move it back as well. So the week I'm supposed to leave is still up in the air. It's not really in stone right now. So for any of you communists listening here, you never know when I get back. Still up in the air.
Were they? How was it a fly to America? Were you? I didn't know we even had flights.
It was hard. It's a lot.
How'd you get on a
Victor?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the flight out wasn't so difficult. In the Philippines, sorry. Let me reinstate everything. When we were flying out, it was a lot harder actually because we had to get tested for one before you could get on a plane. You had to get tested, and then you had to be socially distanced from everything. Everything had to be disinfected. So there's an extra layer of security on top of the layers of security that they already have. So instead of just going through your regular TSA in the Philippines, you also actually have to get your temperature tested and you have to fill out the health declaration forms, do contact tracing, all of that. So that's before you get on the plane. So it takes it adds an extra hour to the process, right? When you get on the plane, you have to be masked up the entire flight. Right. You also have to wear your face shield.
How long is that flight?
It's a 16-hour flight. Ooh. So
whoa. Long time in the mask.
A long time in the mask.
Exactly. Wait, did you eat? Are you allowed to eat?
Take your mask off to eat? When you eat or drink, you're allowed to take your mask.
Pro tip, just eat for 16 hours straight.
Kaplan took a 2-hour flight to Florida and ate the whole time so he didn't have to put his mask. Infected
eat
everyone
or drink,
on the plane.
Get some booze, you know.
Kaplan has antibodies, we should say. He already got COVID.
Fresh antibodies. Just tested this week. Still have them.
Yeah.
But yes.
Right.
But the rest of the plane didn't know that. He was freaking everybody.
Next time I'll make a shirt. Number one in our media, have antibodies.
I saw a great shirt last week. It said, for St. Patrick's Day, it said, kiss me, I'm vaccinated.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a fantastic.
That's a good one. Yeah.
They should have. Yeah. But so
all right. And then you have family in California anyway. Are your parents, or do you guys have dual citizenship or something?
No, my brother and my sister are actually here on green cards, and my parents as well. But my parents fly back and forth. My parents and my other sister, who has special needs, flies back and forth. So my brother and my sister actually stay here in the Bay Area. They work here and they live here full time. So you know, once in a while, when the holidays roll around, you fly out here, spend time with them, and then just head back home, you know?
Yeah, that's great. We got to do a show. I usually go for the holidays too, actually, to Sacramento. So if we end up there at the same time sometime soon.
Definitely. Yeah.
That would be awesome to do a show in California.
I thought you were going to say we'd do a live show in Philippines, get some of the communists.
Well, we need to do that too. We'll go back to that barbershop in Manila we performed at. Yeah. And we'll bring in the communists too.
Bring in the communists.
And soldier.
We'll bring it all in. Yeah, child soldier, whatever.
I'll have my kids do a there'll be like a contest between them and the child soldiers. See if you can do better jokes. See, Sugar Brady will judge it. And,
Sugar Brady. So what's going to happen? So Detroit J only has 1 year left, right?
Supposedly, yeah. He only has 1 year left.
Is he going to have a real election in a year, or is he going to try to pull some?
No, I don't think he will. I think his hold on the country is still too tenuous to do anything that drastic. What people are saying is that he's getting his daughter to run for presidency, just to keep it in the family.
So, and he can't run again? Is that was what we
No, said. You cannot run again after you do a full term. So a full
I remember
term
something before. We learned last time.
I remember that. And what's her situation? Is she a politician?
She is a politician. She's the current mayor of Davao City, where Duterte comes from, where he was a mayor before. And her stance on things is pretty much the same as her father's.
Ivanka Duterte.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same wavelength.
So she's going to go around killing drug dealers with her bare hands too?
She's going to cure traffic. She's got a secret. She's been waiting. President Pacquiao, when is he going to be?
That's the thing. President Pacquiao is still saying that it's God's decision.
God.
Yeah, he's leaving it in God's hands. He hasn't really declared anything yet.
I mean, I saw that like Mike Tyson is going to fight again for like $25 million. So Pacquiao might just come back to boxing the way that they're getting seniors to box now. So
seniors.
Yeah. That's the one thing that happened this pandemic that they realized that we can just keep having old guys fight. People are interested. So
last question I have. So I did read Duterte is like, so obviously 80% of the Philippines is Catholic, right?
Right.
Right.
Yes. And Duterte is hardcore anti-Catholic.
Right.
How does he maintain popularity when
it's the Catholics who did vote for him are more conservative than they are progressive Catholics. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but he's basically, he'll say like, fuck the Pope.
Right, exactly.
Like just crazy stuff.
He makes jokes about gang rape and stuff. And he's not
exactly. Right. And the people who did vote for him also know that he's out here to cleanse the country of drug dealers and rapists all the uncouth people you're supposed to be afraid of, you know.
So
they rather side with that than with somebody, because he made such bold promises. That's the thing here. That's what you have to remember. He made such bold promises about how he's going to cure the land of all sorts of disease, you know, and people believed him in that point in time.
Well, last time we...
Sorry, I just want to say that now, though, a lot of Filipinos who didn't vote for him are starting to see the light, starting to realize that, you know, maybe we fucked up, basically.
Yeah, the last time you were on, you talked about how Duterte was promising he was going to get Putin's vaccine, the Sputnik. It turned out
that ended up being a great vaccine.
It ended up being a good vaccine. We laughed and poo-pooed it last time you were on. But is it not available? Because you flew to America, so it's hard.
I actually don't know what happened to that. Because what I know is now we're getting our vaccines from China. We've had the option to get vaccines from Pfizer and AstraZeneca. AstraZeneca is actually in the country right now, but it's in limited quantities. The Moderna vaccine, Moderna and Pfizer don't want to send vaccines to the Philippines because a while back there was another vaccine outbreak. A vaccine controversy for the dengue fever, right? A company tested out the dengue fever vaccine in the Philippines, and it caused deaths. Okay, and up to this day, people don't know what actually happened. So Pfizer and Moderna are trying to err on the side of caution here and say that before we send vaccines over to your country, you have to make sure that if people start dying, we aren't going to be held accountable. I think that's the basic gist of things here, because the vaccines aren't really proven to cause the deaths, basically, right? It wasn't really...
Oh, so people didn't take it last? You mean people won't take it because of this other experience?
No, because Dengvaxia virus, that's a mouthful. Dengvaxia vaccine.
I don't remember that one.
Scandal happened. The Philippines basically wiped their hands clean and said, "That's not our problem. That's all you guys." And then they blamed the manufacturers of the vaccine for what happened. And you know, Pfizer and Moderna, being the larger pharmaceutical companies, saw this happen and said that, "Hold on, we need to make sure that we have things clear when we give this vaccine over, because we're telling you that it's not 100% effective. We're telling you that there are side effects. We're telling you this and that." So when people start, when the margin of error starts increasing, you have to make sure that you inform your public of that. But on the other hand, on the other side of the things, there's a Chinese pharmaceutical company called Sinovac, which is sending the vaccines over from the Philippines. And of course, naturally, because they are with China and a Chinese company, the government prioritized them before everything else.
Yeah.
And so they didn't want to deal with the Pfizer problem. They used that as an excuse. And now they're rolling out the Sinovac vaccines.
Good people on both sides.
But you guys don't, here's the thing though, you don't nearly need the vaccine, because I was reading about how you guys have figured out coronavirus because you've done a very smart thing. You've kept, this is, to me, I find this amazing. Children haven't left the home in a year. Is that, that's what I was reading? Under 15, right? They haven't been allowed to leave the home for a year now.
If you're under 15 and over the age of 75, I believe, you're not allowed, 65, sorry.
Can you imagine, Turner, no seniors and no children out and about?
It'd be amazing.
That's like bliss.
Yeah, that's. How can I? They should put that on the tourism advertisement.
I mean, there's no old people. That should have cured traffic. You don't have
come to the country with no kids and no old people.
Yeah. I read that they said that they were going to allow the kids over 10 to go to the malls because, like, malls is a big social activity.
Right.
Then Duterte
said, no. He changed his mind. He, like, vetoed them. And he said, it's too risky because they live with the grandparents and they bring it home, I guess. And
I mean, it's crazy because people don't really know what's happening. We just got out of a year-long lockdown. And then last week, I heard that the country, or Manila at least, is going back into another lockdown.
Oh, man.
Like, so they're calling it a bubble. Like it's some sort of NBA thing.
the Philippines bubble.
Yeah, they're calling it the NCR plus bubble. Which is, it's just, they're just coming out with the stupidest names for these things. Basically, yeah. the plan, the main plan is just for people to just stay locked up. That's the farthest this government has gone as far as trying to solve the problem. There's no proactivity on their end.
Are parents allowed to leave home and leave their children at home?
They are allowed to go to work.
Okay, we just leave the kids there. Just don't leave.
Right. Oh, but you gotta understand, a lot of these Filipino homes, they're about a one bedroom. That's it. Like, or a studio, maybe even smaller. You know, kids get cabin fever very quickly. So if you have to stay, yeah, right, exactly. It's like a cell. So if you're locked up for an entire year, you're gonna go crazy.
So what are they? Are the kids sneaking out and being like?
Yeah, the kids are sneaking out. There have been reports of parents being arrested.
Oh, they arrest
the parents. You can't arrest the kids, right? So you arrest the parent.
Can you imagine? I would totally get arrested because I
Kaplan would be arrested day one. He has no control over his kids.
I need them to. I have no control of them. They'd be like, "Ruby wants to see your friends." She would just leave, and then she would tell the police officer, "Yeah, my dad. This is his address. Go get him."
Can I ask a last question about? You said earlier we skipped over it, but your uncle was one of the communists back in the day.
He was an activist.
An activist.
Okay. I don't necessarily know what he did. The story goes on my side of the family that my uncle fled to the mountains during martial law. And then he was never heard from again.
Whoa.
He disappeared and then the body just showed up like months later.
Oh man.
So nobody knows what happened. Not my uncle's, not my mom.
Yeah.
But that's what they suspect happened. You know?
Went to go join the fight.
Yeah.
You know, it sucks, skiing. There's only one thing you're doing up there. So that's, yeah.
Right, exactly. It's not like they have an actual peloton, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's it. I hope you get the vaccine soon. If you could do it, just go anywhere. Actually, if you go to like a CVS sometimes in your neighborhood, they'll just give you a shot. So
also, I can't believe you came all the way. You left a country that's been locked down for a year and you're in San Francisco, which is like the most locked down city in America, probably.
Yeah, go to Texas.
It's actually open. A lot of the places out there are pretty open.
Oh, so they just opened up. You got lucky.
Yeah, I lucked out.
You should go to Texas. Yeah, go to Nevada.
That is a good point he brings up, though. When we say lockdown in America, it's not like every other country in the world. When they say lockdown, it's real lockdown.
Yeah, the kids can't leave the house. I guess
it means nothing. We're like, we're locked down. We can still go to the grocery store.
I mean, I got to do an open mic last night. So
mics in San Francisco. They're ahead of us.
Yeah, wow.
I don't know how locked down things actually are. So,
all right. Well, then enjoy being out in the wild.
Yeah.
That's the episode.
Yeah, thanks, Zen.
Thank you so much, Chino. That's it. Everybody, check out the Class Clown podcast. And if you like this, we had Chino on a few months ago, episode 193, and we were just starting this format. Now it's rocking.
We've done like 30 episodes in this format. That's amazing.
We've done about 30
episodes.
I did
not realize it was that many. Yeah. Look at that.
Thanks for coming back, Chino. Come back
anytime.
Thanks
for having me on, guys.
Yeah.
Love to see anytime. You, man.
Enjoy. Anytime something crazy happens in your country, come back.
United States, that's it. Kaplan, what should we do?
I'm going to finish this mezcal and I'm going to get lost.
Get lost.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.